Blessings, and thank you for joining us again on this broadcast where we, by the grace of God, labor to preach the word in spirit and in truth. And I hope and I trust by the grace of God that our ministry has been a blessing to you. God bless you, and again, thank you for joining us. I'll begin a series today and called Man Was Never Designed to Live by Bread Alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Again, man was never designed to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. This is by God's design. This is God's intent. This is how God established things. So, invariably, what is the implication here? Brethren, here's the implication. Everything about life, but the things we can see, things we can't see, everything about experiences, anything you've gone through or will go through, everything about your family, everything about anything at all that involves our existence and the existence of things in the realm of the spirit, eternity, beginning and end, all of it are governed by the instructions that are not humanly designed. The instructions that rule or govern this life does not come from any constitutional government of this world. No ruler, no monarchy, nobody. But it's designed by God. It comes from God. Ultimately, you will see that everything, whether good, bad, or indifferent, whether it's from the devil or anybody, ultimately everything will reflect God's position regarding that. That's the end of everything. They must reflect God's position or God's instructions to the glory and the praise of Yahweh. Amen. But let's go to scriptures. Let's go to the book of Genesis, where we find the beginning of creation according to scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2 is an account of God creating both humanity and the earth and the garden. But for us, so we're just going to read a few texts from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 1, we shall read from 26 to 30, which says this. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 30. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, but let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So watch what is happening. God is given instructions, right? All the whole entire account of creations came because God gave instructions. Okay? Just have that in mind. And then verse 28 says, "Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so.'" Praise the living God. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says this. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Verse 15, Genesis 2:15. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may eat, you may freely eat, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then if you drop to verse 20, so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And then verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Glory to God in the highest. Wow, what an amazing account. So what do we have here? Do you notice something? That we went from zero to life. From non-existent. Non-existent. We went from not being there to being there. Creation went from not being there to being there. Okay? We did not have traditions and culture as we have today. There was no human language. There was no negative emotion. It's from nothing to God's perfection. At the command of His Word. All of this happened. Okay? So we came in, humanity came in because God gave instructions. But the God's instruction did not end there. Alright? From the account we read, notice that God began to establish for them what truth is. God began to establish for them their culture, their tradition, their identity, and their purpose. How did God do this? He spoke it. The instructions came. Let us make man. Let them have dominion. Let them do this. Let them be fruitful. Let them be multiply. Let them multiply. Let them tend this. Let them do this. Okay, what is that? God now began to establish spiritual truths for man so that man can live by them. We're going somewhere. Okay, so with this, God introduces language for humanity. And by the way, this form of language that Adam and Eve spoke was not of human construct. No, it didn't come from us. It wasn't derived from our humanity. This language was designed by God. So, from zero to nothing, they had perfect understanding of this language. No one had to model this language for them. But because God gave instructions for them to have this language, they went from zero to nothing in a perfect language. There is a higher form of language, you know, that we have in Christ. Access is given only through Christ. I'm not speaking about speaking in tongues, but there's something else. There's something else. And I pray that God will allow all of us to really come to this place of understanding this language. It is amazing. Because with that language, Adam and Eve could communicate with God. They could communicate with the spirit. They could communicate in the natural. With animals, with one another, with the waters, with creation, they could communicate. Even the cattle could understand Adam. When Adam gave them their names, they responded to that name. They knew now who they were. They were taking identity from the truth that God established for Adam. Adam is expressing that truth and the creation is taking on that identity. God will allow us to come back to this true language in Christ. So especially in the body of Christ and in our families, that with that language we can give our children, we can give the church their true identity. We can establish their culture for them. We can establish their language. We can establish their purpose and traditions for them that is different from human construct. To the glory and the praise of His name. Even diet, God gave them their diet. The instructions came for them to understand diet, where they live, how to relate with their environment. All of this were truths that God established as commandments, as instructions for them. Praise God. And so, here's the main point I'm driving here. I'm driving a point. This is the main point. This is the main point. This is what I want you to take away from this introduction that I've given us. What came first? What came first? The instructions or the activities? The instructions or Adam and Eve? The instructions or creation? What came first? Well, without a doubt, from the account that we've read, guess what? The instructions or the Word of God came first. As a result, that Word governs what follows. So that is a pattern that God established for us. And that is why the scripture says that man was never designed to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Because that is the pattern that God established. The word came first, then using their will, Adam and Eve were to respond to the word in obedience. And hence again why I mentioned earlier that everything pertaining to life is governed ultimately by God's position. And God's position is always reflected by His word, by His instructions, everything. So that's the pattern I want you to remember. Remember this pattern because it's important. It is critical. Everything that you're going through in life now, everything, it has an instructions from God. And that instruction needs unlocking if it hasn't been unlocked already. You will see what happens. I'm going to compare this to something else that happened in Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to use that to show you the truth of what I'm speaking to you today. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and let's see what we find here. Right? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. We're going to look into that and see what we find here. And tell me what happens here. Genesis chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Good luck with that. "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? The tree I gave you instructions not to eat.' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" Praise the name of the living God. So, Genesis chapter 3, we're going to use that, as I said earlier, in comparison to what happened in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. What do you notice that happens? Pre-fall, free fall, before Adam and Eve ate this fruit, there were one set of instructions, right? And those set of instructions came directly from God, and it governed everything that was happening around them. And Adam and Eve was allowed by God to have free will. And with their free will, they submitted in obedience to those instructions. And as long as they continue to submit in obedience to those instructions, we experience and we can conclude that everything God told them about themselves, everything God expected of them, happened. They experienced it abundantly. Now, Genesis chapter 3 takes a different turn. Have you noticed what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Now a second set of instructions shows up. And these instructions are not from God. Think about Adam and Eve before they sinned, right? There were a set of instructions they were following. But now this new set of instructions that have come, not of God, but of the devil, is introduced into the scene. It came from the serpent. It didn't come from God. So what do we have here? So we have truth operating. We have the brightness of truth. The brightness of darkness operating. Prior to this, Adam and Eve did not have this challenge before them. And all they had to do is keep submitting to the will of God, and the brightness of darkness will fade. For everywhere light shines, darkness goes. But now, there's brightness of darkness. And the angel of darkness camouflages himself as what? As an angel of light. So when this darkness comes, when this new set of instructions comes, it will only digress by not a lot of degrees from the truth, is the point. It will sound like the truth. It will feel like the truth. But the divergence is enough for it no longer to be light, but brightness or light of darkness. And so what happens with our brother, our father Adam, and our mother Eve? It's a choice. It's a matter of choice. It's their will. With their will, they have to decide who they will obey. You know, in life, you will always have more than one set of instructions. In everything you're going through, in everything you experience, there will always be more than one set of instructions. But with your will, you have to determine which one you shall obey. But I want to remind you, my friends, that there is a consequence that is attached to everything we submit our will to. Every set of instructions, you're living the life you're living now because you've submitted yourself to a certain set of instructions. You are experiencing what you're experiencing. You're feeling how you're feeling because you've submitted your life to a certain set of instructions. If they're of God, they will reflect the glory and the majesty of Him. If they're not of God, they will also reflect that which they're not of, the light of darkness. So watch. What happens? So now Satan has introduced his parallel system, like truth. And he spoke those instructions. Now Adam and Eve has to make a choice. By the way, I want to point something else to you. If you read Genesis chapter 14 to 24, you will ultimately come to the conclusion that no matter what happens in life, no matter what anyone does, good, bad, or indifferent, no matter what it is, evil or good, righteousness or sinfulness, makes no difference. Everything ultimately ends the way God wants it to. All of it, including Satan himself. Darkness will end the way God wants it to end. So everyone who follows darkness will still ultimately end up in a manner that God has determined. So what determines, or what decides the end of this matter, is still not the instructions from the serpent. Rather, all things will be settled by the word of God, by the instructions God has given. Everything will be settled. So we find Adam and Eve, what did they do? They diverge from the instructions God gave them. and they ate the fruit. And immediately they ate the fruit, what happened? Let me ask you this question. When they diverged from the truth, how immediate was the consequence? Instantaneously. Brethren, there are certain things we do without understanding how instantaneously a response takes place in the spirit, both for righteousness and both for evil. Instantaneously. If you watch what happened, all of a sudden, Eve begins to think that this fruit is actually good for food. Yet Eve has so much that she can eat from. A fruit to make you wise, who told you that you were ignorant in the first place. You spoke with God face to face. You have the instructions of the truth leading you. Yet at this point, Eve and Adam feels like there is more for them and they're going to follow this set of instructions. And the consequences is very immediate. You know, you have to understand something. Sometimes what we're experiencing or going through in life is not when you're experiencing it or where you're dealing with life or when, it's not really when that situation truly occurred. The situation really occurred in the spirit prior to that. I think what we are dealing with is a revelation of what a consequence that is already taking place in the spirit. Let me explain it that way. I think it gives a better understanding. Some of the things we're going through in life, challenges, good times, bad times, sweet, sour, all those things, right? About life. Things we like, things we don't like. Some of them really are just a reflection of what has already transpired in the spirit. For example, when God came to put judgment on Eve, on Adam, and on the serpent, that was not when the judgment was pronounced. The judgment was already pronounced. God is beginning and end. God is all things at all times. He is. He's not in the time construct. But that was a time where humanity now will receive this set of instructions that God has already principled in the spirit and is established. And now humanity is receiving the reality of that instruction that is principled in the spirit. You see, everything God did is already principled in the spirit. And now God allows us, gives us free will. He says, I'm going to give you free will, humanity, and I'll give you access to these things. But you know what? Choose you this day which direction you're going to go. With your will, you have to make a decision, but these things are principled in the spirit. So, for example, he says, the soul that sins shall die. It's already principled in the spirit. God is not trying to pronounce that judgment the moment you sin. No, it's already done. When we experience blessings or when we experience a judgment, It's for us to be aware of the reality of what is going on in the spirit realm. Okay? So when God came and began to pronounce the judgment on them, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That set of instructions is not new to God, it's simply new to us, the hearer, when you're hearing it. So these things are principled. And it's good for us. This is good news. It's brilliant news for us. Because when you know that things are principled in the spirit, then you give yourself in obedience to obey it. Amen. You know that all we have to do is respond in obedience to it. We have to respond in obedience to the word, to that set of instructions. So when God is letting you know that something is going on in your life, through any kind of experience, it's only for us to pause, right? And to reflect on the instructions we've been following. Reflect on the instructions you've been following. Praise God. But I want to tell you something else about this. That God's original intent for man not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, is not something that God has given up on. It is how the system works. What do I mean by this? This is another good news, right? You can write this down. It's another good news because God's intent is to still bring us back to that reality in Christ. That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Watch what happens in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. God wants to restore humanity to this original state. Now, what happens here? Israel is at the cusp of taking possession of the reason why God pulled them out of Egypt. The reason why God is making them a nation is to give them a homeland that God will call His place. So Israel was about to enter into this newness, into the fulfillment of this promise. And what does God do? God reminds them that bread is not what sustains them. That what will sustain them is every instruction that God gives. What instructs sustains your family? What is sustains your ministry? What is sustains your life, your body, your spirit, your soul? It's not the physical bread. It's not the physical activities. It's the instructions that has come from God, Israel. Remember that. Because in the land that you're going, there'll be milk, there'll be honey, there'll be abundance, there'll be gold, there'll be silver, there'll be treasures. There'll be great jobs, there'll be great incomes, there'll be, you know, there'll be all the families, children, blessings, kids, talents, and all that. But that's not what sustains you, he says to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Listen to what God is saying before they get into the land. Every instruction. Why? Because man does not live by bread. But he says every instruction, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Be careful, he says to Israel, to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Isn't that amazing? Israel is at the point of taking ownership of what belongs to them. Israel is at the point of coming into the fullness of what God said to Abraham. Israel is about to be established as a nation for other nations to know that there is a God in Zion. And listen to the instructions God gives them. He takes them back to the original, to the beginning, to how things ought to be. He says, Israel, I don't want you to function as the nations around you. I want Israel to recognize that instructions from God is what will sustain them. Verse 2 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not, instructions or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger. Listen to that. He allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Do you see that? And by the way, the concept of bread here is much larger than dough that you put in an oven. It's much larger. Bread is in here in this, in the sense, represents the answer to any condition, the answer to any demand, the answer to any experience, the the answer to any encounter in life. Bread represents that. He says, man does not live by human bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So bread in the humanistic sense is all of our efforts that we can employ to answer the demands of life. All of human efforts that we employ to answer the human demands of life. He says, man doesn't live by that alone, but by every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. Amen. It means that if someone is hungry in the natural, bread will represent food or the answer to that hunger. If someone needs healing, well, if someone is sick rather and they get healed, bread represents that. Okay? So bread in that sense represents that. And so just about Israel, before they go into the land, God says, listen, do not forget the instructions I gave you. Why? Because be careful to observe them. You may live and multiply and go and possess the land. When you break that down, what is it saying? He says, if you follow the instructions I give you, those instructions truly in the realm of the spirit governs existence in the natural. And all you have to do, Israel, is to carefully observe them as I give them to you. Guess what? You will prosper in anything you set your hand to do. You follow the manual. You follow the instructions, right? You will prosper in that. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I want to show you something. I want to show you something to tie this in. In Matthew 15. Watch what happens to this woman here. In Matthew 15 verse 22. Well, I just want you to observe something here. The Bible says that, behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. Okay? Now, you know what's going on here. This is life happening. This is just life happening. Right? And this woman has an issue. The daughter has an issue. And she comes to Jesus. She's crying out, Lord, help me. I have a situation. In other words, I need instructions. I need your instructions, Jesus, concerning this. If you give your instructions concerning this, this is going to be settled. All right? So watch. He answered her, not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So now Jesus and the disciples are having an interchange. Not Jesus and the woman, Jesus and the disciples. The disciples are saying, send her away. You know, she's troubling us. She's sending her, answer her, send her away. Whatever, do something, Jesus. Jesus says, no, I have instructions. I have instructions for those it is intended for. I have instructions for those that want the instructions. I have instructions for anyone who will come to me. I have instructions for them. Okay? And so watch what happened. In verse 25. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now this woman, the Canaanite woman, just comes and now falls down before Jesus and says, Jesus, help me. What are you saying, Jesus? Jesus, I need the instructions that governs life. And the woman, and Jesus responded, and he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread. Ooh, there you go, the bread. And throw it to little dogs. Bread. It is not good to take that which is the children's bread and to throw it to dogs. Yes, you know why? Because you do not cast your pearls to swines. You don't. You don't. The instructions of God are foolishness to those who reject him. They don't want it. They don't want to listen to it. And Jesus is saying, you know what? Oh, I have what you need. I have the bread you need. But the bread is for those who really desire it and want it. The bread does not work for those who, you know, you can't get this healing if you follow another set of instructions. And the woman responds to Jesus this. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Good God Almighty. This woman says to Jesus, oh, by the way, I get what you're saying. I understand it. But is it not true that what you have is what governs life? Is it not true that the instructions that you're giving us is what the Bible says that man shall live by alone? Is that not true? If it is true, then it doesn't matter that it's on the floor where the dogs can eat it. It makes no difference where you find yourself. You can be a sinner. If you eat, if you follow that instructions, you will be forgiven. You can be sick. You follow that instructions, you will be healed. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. The instructions is still the instructions. If with your whole heart you follow it, then what God has principled in the spirit will still happen. So when Jesus heard this, he laughed. He says, you got it. You're right. Just go. You don't need to spend more time with me trying to get it. Let these disciples keep following me. They still don't have it. But as for you, since you got it, I want you to go because you're going to be that light that I've lit on the city. When you see this woman, the kind of message this woman will preach in her life. Why? Because she knew about the instructions of God. And with her will, she's given herself to follow those instructions. And Jesus says, yes, it is true. Anyone who follows that instructions, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The mouth of God, the instructions from God governs everything. The woman says, yes, if a dog eats that instruction, that dog will cease to be a dog. The dog will become a child and find themselves on a table. Jesus says, yes, you're right. If a sinner eats that bread, that instruction, that sinner will be saved. Jesus says, you're right. You're right. Man lives by that. Man was designed but to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so Jesus asked her to go, that it is well with her. He's basically saying, just keep following that the instructions of the Maker. You will get the answer that was principled. Now watch this. What happened to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when he was about to begin his ministry? What happened to Jesus? He was about to launch his earthly ministry. What happens to him? The devil comes. Turn these stones into bread. Bread? Really? Satan, really? Is that all you have? Like you did with Adam and Eve? Right? Oh, that fruit is bread for you. That food is bread. It's your bread. That anger is your bread. That frustration is your bread. Being upset with that person is your bread. Huh? Really? Hating people is your bread. Ah! Sin is your bread. Yeah? Uh-huh. He says to Jesus, that stone is your bread. Eat it. And Jesus reminded him, it is written. Oh, where is it written? Please, can someone answer me? Where is it written? It is written, Jesus said. It is written where? In Deuteronomy? Absolutely not. No, it is written in the Spirit. It is principled in the Spirit. It is established in the Spirit. The instruction Jesus is given is as is. It is in the Spirit. You say, in the Spirit. When you think about it, think of it in these terms. In the Spirit, where things that govern my existence are. In the Spirit, in that realm, he says, it is written there. It is principled there by God that I will not live by bread alone, but I will live by every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. Man is designed not to live by bread alone. You are designed not to live by bread alone. But the world system, you know, they've provided set of instructions for us. So it's hard for us to follow the truth. And so now we find ourselves living by bread, humanly constructed and designed, and think we have life. Whereas true life is governed in the Spirit, where God has principled things. And He has given us access through Jesus Christ, that we might begin to know the things that are freely. Jesus says, I want you to know the things that are freely given to you. That man lives by bread. No. But that man lives by every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. That's how Jesus lived His life, and that's how He carried out His ministry. Brethren, God have reconciled us in Christ that we may have access to the truth. Whatever you are, wherever you are, pay careful attention to this word you've heard. You do not live by bread alone. It is the word of the Lord. It is the instructions that God will give you that governs your life. It is the instructions that will prosper you in the things He set you out to do. It is the instructions that God has given if you follow with your will in obedience, that you will experience the fullness like this Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman. The woman with the issue of blood said to Jesus, I've eaten all kinds of bread and nothing helps me. Jesus smiles. You see, that's why Jesus had to allow that miracle to happen the way He did. Jesus had to allow this woman to get this kind of miracle because this woman has fed on every kind of humanly designed bread. And He comes to a place where they don't provide the answer. I want to tell you this. Everything humanly designed has a boundary. It has a boundary and it cannot and will never provide you all the answers you need. They can give you temporary satisfaction, but they don't provide you the truth. And so Jesus said to the woman, to the woman with the issue of blood, immediately she came and ate of that bread, the bread of life, the instructions of God, that the hem of this garment of this rabbi has healing powers. And he bowed on her knees to this rabbi and touched the hem of his garment. What was principled in the spirit took place. Are you not aware that there are angels that are just waiting? Because they only respond to what God has principled in the spirit. Just waiting for you and I to follow the instructions that have been given to us. Everything. Man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This is God's design, and God has restored this grace, this gift to us in Christ. I want you to begin to reflect over your own life and see what set of instructions you've been following. When life is good, what instructions do you follow? When life is bad or indifferent, what set of instructions are you following? In the way you relate with yourself, the way you relate with people around you, the way you relate with your family, everything, whose instructions are you following? If you follow that which is of God, then be rest assured that everything will always work in the manner that God has spoken it. He says you will live, you will prosper. You will live and you will prosper. I'm not speaking about the world's prosperity definition. No, I'm beyond that. Praise the name of the living God. Amen.